Great. Well, I've got a bit of a shock for you this morning. Those of you who normally come to this church, there's no PowerPoint. No. I know. Look, people are upset. They're sad, you know. But I was, I've got an iPad, which is, oh yeah, it is working. That's good. I was kind of praying about this last night, and I felt God say, don't over-prepare. So I've tried not to over-prepare. But there's one thing you will need. You need one of these things. It's called a Bible. It's got loads of good stuff in it, you know, words and things. As Jess Clark once memorably said, it's like having your own personal iPad. So there you go. Let's grab your Bibles. There are a number of people who are visitors, so I just want to give you a very quick recap over what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks. The last 3 weeks, actually, so that that'll give a context to what I'm going to say for the rest of today's talk. And for the last 3 weeks, we've been hearing about what I believe is God's heart for his church here in Swanage, and I've explained that I believe we have reached a pivotal point in where the church is going, and that God is subtly changing our direction, first of all, from a change for a vision for all saints, or a change for individual churches, to a vision for the whole church in Swanage. And secondly, actually a move away from a vision for the church to a vision for the kingdom of God, not the church. And I explained there are a couple of reasons for that. The first reason is that God is doing some remarkable things amongst the whole church in Swanage. There's huge degree of cooperation between the churches. And we need to pick up what God is doing there. And interesting, it was very interesting hearing from Rona at the Churches Together meeting. Now, actually, I haven't gone around bashing this particular drum with all the other church leaders, but obviously God is doing the same thing in their hearts as in mine and as in ours. The second reason that I believe we should be changing our emphasis is that God has spoken prophetically. God has promised that he's going to move in power in Swanage. It's going to be like an immense wave coming into the town, and that we need to ride that wave together. And that we received a very clear and direct word in July of this year where the Lord said, I can see the lady who gave the word, who knew nothing about Swanage at all, didn't even know the people she was talking to were from Swanage, said, I can see a beach community. In other words, I can see a seaside community. And the Lord is saying the methods you'd use in a town or a city won't work for a beach community. You need to seek God for creative ideas as to the way to reach your community. So last weekend, 70 of us met here on Saturday, and we talked about what creative ideas we had to reach our community here. And thank you so much for the time that you put in there and for your feedback since then. And we're trying to assimilate all that, and we'll come back to you when we're done. And we're reviewing what we're doing, what we should drop, what we should emphasize. But what the Lord is saying is we should be focused on the kingdom, not the church. I believe that's really, really clear. And we've talked about what the kingdom of God means in the last couple of weeks. And you'll remember, the kingdom of God means not an area, geographical area, or a system of government. It's the rule or reign of God. In practice, it means the power of God breaking in dynamically into people's lives and changing them. And the kingdom of God, we've heard, has come when my life, the life of my family, and the life of my community has been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. So we heard 2 weeks ago the difference that the kingdom of God can make to us as individuals. We're talking there about an assurance or an understanding that we're sinners, that we can repent, that we can be forgiven, and we can know a new clean start, and we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's on a personal level. On a family level, we looked at that last week, that the kingdom of God had a wider dimension than just me. And at a family level, in our own individual families, our own, if you like, our own biological families, the Lord wants to work and wants to speak into our biological families, but also we're all one family. The Lord puts all of us in one family, whether we're married or single, whether we've got children or not. Whatever our situation is, God is a father to the fatherless. He puts us all in a family. And the pictures that the New Testament uses for the church are all of people closely relating together, like stones being built together, like a body, like a household. They're all intimate pictures, okay? And we're not meant to be, as we heard last week, we're not meant to be lone rangers, all right? We're meant to be participating together. And you remember that fantastic verse in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. And we need to be working together with one another, and we sharpen each other up in the kingdom of God. So, we've looked at the kingdom of God in terms of us as individuals, as a family. Right, what about community? What about community? We're going wider and wider and wider. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, goes into the synagogue of in Nazareth. He goes into the place where he'd been brought up. He'd been to church there, if you want to use that phrase, every Saturday, from the moment he was born, almost the moment he was born. And this is his big opportunity to tell the people of his hometown what his ministry is about. What does he say? We've had it read this morning, page 1031, if you want to look at it in your Bibles, Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Right. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus says, he's got good news, and this is the work of the Holy Spirit. I know I keep saying it till I'm blue in the face, but none of this stuff works without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't work, folks. It's like trying to run a car without any petrol. It just doesn't work. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit empowering you, if I haven't got the Holy Spirit empowering me, this doesn't work. Okay? He has anointed me, says Jesus. We are to be anointed. It's promised. Go and look at Joel. Go and look at Acts chapter 2. We're promised the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If we seek his anointing, why? To preach the gospel, to speak good news. Who to? To the poor. Not just actually the financially poor, though that's important that we help people who are financially poor, but those who are poor in spirit. Do you remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay? He's saying, look, you feel you haven't got very much? You've got everything. You've got everything. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus has an amazing way of healing people who are completely broken in so many different ways. We're intended to, under the power of the Holy Spirit, to be God's agents to heal brokenhearted people. To proclaim liberty to the captives. You know, there are people who are captive, who are imprisoned, who are bound in sin. Okay, who are bound by habits, who are bound who are oppressed, and the Lord's the good news for us is that we can preach liberty. Okay, and then he talks about healing the blind, bring sight to the blind, and he's talking about people who are physically blind, and people are healed even today miraculously who are physically blind. We heard Brian Pavitt say he was present in New Wine last year, where a lady who had been physically blind for a long period of time could suddenly see. It does still happen, but also we're talking about spiritual blindness too, people who can't see, and people who are oppressed, to free the captives by sin, sickness, the demonic. That's what Jesus taught. His whole history was that he then took that teaching out into the community, and he did it in public. Jesus' teaching and ministry was done in public. Everywhere he did it amongst the community. He spoke in public, he healed in public, he set free in public. When you get to Acts, it's no big surprise that the disciples who've been trained by Jesus for 3 years did exactly the same thing. Now, you often hear it said, don't you, that in England, maybe it's not the same as Scotland and Wales, I don't know. In England, religion is meant to be a private matter. Have you ever told you that? It's my personal private thing, okay? It's just garbage. It's just garbage, okay? It's totally unbiblical. The notion that my Christian faith should be something I keep to myself and not tell anybody about or do anything about is just rubbish. If you look at the Bible, the Bible is the complete opposite. If you look at in Acts chapter 2, for example, the community dimension was center stage. You couldn't escape it. Why not turn to page 194 of your Bibles? What does it say there? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. Okay. Well, maybe people didn't notice that if they weren't part of the church. But then it says this, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I bet the neighbors knew about that, didn't they? I mean, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, Jerusalem is, I've been to Jerusalem several times, and the old city of Jerusalem is lots of little tiny streets. It's quite hard to, you know, when something happens, you know about it. It's not like, it's, I mean, the streets are much narrower than this road here. It's about, the streets are about, well, they're probably, you know, they're narrower than this, yeah, than these chairs here, even narrower. So if something's happening on the other side of the street, you know about it. You know about it, okay? All who believed were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods. They divided them all as anyone had need. They blessed the people around them. I'm sure they didn't just bless the church. They blessed the people around them. Somebody on the road needed something, they gave it away, okay? And then just over the page, 1096, Acts chapter 4. What does it say there? With great power, verse 33, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection. Great grace was among them all. Nor was anyone who lacked. Okay? They gave the, they sold lands and houses, they brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, they laid them at the apostles' feet, they distributed to anyone as he had need. This largesse was spread around, you see. And then again, next page, Acts chapter 5. Look, verse 14. The believers were increasingly added to the Lord. I'm not surprised. Obviously, I'm not surprised this is going on. The multitudes of both men and women, they brought the sick out on the streets. They laid them on beds and couches so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. You know? This kind of stuff was done in public. It wasn't hole-in-the-corner stuff. There's a community dimension. They live life in the public eye, and people were attracted to the gospel. There was a sense of the presence of God. And it says fear came upon every soul. Signs and wonders. They lived out the community. They lived out the kingdom of God in the community, and the community ended up being blessed, even if they weren't part of the church. You know, they were still being blessed. And we're not just talking about good works, though it's good to bless people with generosity, but they brought the kingdom of the dynamic power of the kingdom of God in their community, and you could see its effect. And I'd look read this stuff, and I think, wouldn't it be brilliant if we could do that here in Swanage? Wouldn't it be brilliant? Wouldn't it be brilliant? A real sense of the power of the Holy Spirit? Because it seems to me that these early disciples were like lightning conductors for the Holy Spirit. You know, they were wandering around, and it suddenly, stung, down comes the Holy Spirit, wherever you happen to be. You know, you're in Boots, wow, you know, you're in the Butchers, wow, you're in Co-op, you know, suddenly the Holy Spirit comes down. These people lived out their destiny on the streets of Jerusalem. So, what was their destiny? Well, at the beginning of the year, I always pray about a verse for the year. So come on, some brave person, tell me what is the verse of the year? Come. Go on. Yes! A holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, page 1218, if you want to look it up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, if you haven't got a little bookmark, there's still some yellow bookmarks on the table at the back. Pick one up to remind yourself of who you are, because that's what you are. Now, people sometimes look at me, especially when I'm kind of dressed up in robes and stuff, which I don't do that often, to be fair. But when I do, they say, well, clearly, you know, you're a priest. You're a priest in the Church of England, all right? Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, okay, hands up who's a priest. Please, all put your hands up. If you know Jesus, you put your hand up, all right? We are all priests, all right? If you're ordained, you're an elder, all right? Presbyteros, actually, is the Greek word, all right? Presbyteros, okay? There's a Greek word for priest in the New Testament which is never used for a Christian leader. Never used for a Christian leader. All right? We're all priests. How do I know? Because it says so in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're all priests. It says it in the Old Testament too, by the way. All right? Now, what do priests do in the Bible? Under the Old Covenant, what do they do? What they do is they intercede for the people before the Lord, and they pray for them and they bless them. That's what they do. That's what priests do, all right? Now, we don't have to do all that old covenant stuff now because Jesus has paid the price on the cross for us, but we're still priests. So we can look to the old covenant, we can look to the Old Testament to find out what priests do. So if you look at Numbers chapter 6, which is on page 141, okay, it's good, this, isn't it? This thing with the Bible, you know, it's amazing. Okay. Andy's here. He's got his little iPhone here. He doesn't need the page numbers because he just goes. Yeah, is that right? Okay. But for the more technologically challenged, it's on page 141. Okay. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 says this: "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them.'" So what's happening here? This is not the use of magic words or some kind of incantation or some arid liturgical formula. That is not what is happening here. What's happening here is that the priest, and under the new covenant, that's all of us, okay, is able to declare that something God is going to do because God has promised to do it. Okay? So, words are powerful. We know words are powerful. We know they're powerful. God gave Old Testament priests the power to declare his blessing to the people. And now he's done the same to all of us. How do we know? Because in 1 Peter 2, chapter, verse 9, it says that we are a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. So why would we not be able to do the same thing that the priests in the Old Testament were able to do? Of course we can. We can bless people too. Okay? We can declare blessing over God's world and the people in it. Do we want to be lightning conductors of the Holy Spirit? I really want to be. I really want to be. I want to be out there delivering the goods. I want to be out there passing on the blessing. Okay, so look, I've been reading a book this week, which I should have read ages ago, all right? It's this book. It's called The Grace Outpouring. Who's read this book? Loads of people, all right? I'm behind the curve as usual, all right? Okay, now, for those of you who haven't read it, you're not going to believe this. I've actually had, for quite some time, I've had two copies of this book in my house, and I thought, I must read this book, but I've never got around to it, okay? It's by a guy called Roy Godwin, and he started up a community with his wife Daphne, in North Wales called Feldebrennan, which is a completely unpronounceable and unspellable name. But anyway, it's called Feldebrennan, and it's a fantastic place. And I know people who've been there and have been amazingly blessed. I've heard this guy speak, and I've heard all about it, and I've spoken to people who've been to this place, but I've never actually read the book till this week, and it's a great read. And I've got a spare copy, so I'm going to put the spare copy in the quiet room. So if you want to have a read, it's a great read, okay? Now, what Roy Godwin and his wife Daphne decided to do was they set up this community with a rule of life. And the key thing about this community is they bless people. That's what they do. They bless people. And what they decided to do was to follow Jesus' approach. Now, you've heard me say numerous times, and it is clearly the case, that the Bible is very clear that we're all sinners. Okay? But when you go up to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, that wouldn't be the place I'd necessarily start. Unless God actually said, go up to X and tell him he's a sinner. Okay? And just very occasionally, you'd have to do that. Okay? But most of the time, that wouldn't be the place I would start, because actually that isn't the place where Jesus started, okay? He started off by blessing people, or healing them, or encouraging them, or giving them a miraculous catch of fish or something. Interestingly enough, what then happens is they soon catch up to the fact they're sinners, because you remember Jesus says in John chapter 16 that it's the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin. So they soon pick it up. So you get the situation in Luke chapter 5, Jesus encourages Peter, tells Peter to put the nets down and fish at the beginning of the day. And amazingly enough, they have this amazing and miraculous catch of fish. which you never got at the beginning of the day because you never caught fish at the beginning of the day, okay? They put all the fish in the boat. So what does Peter do? He doesn't say, wow, this is fantastic, let's go off to market and sell them. He falls to his knees and says, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinful man. He sees the miracle. He doesn't focus on the blessing, though you wouldn't have blamed him for focusing on the blessing. What he does is he suddenly realizes that he's standing before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he's a sinner, you see. And so what Daphne and Roy Godwin did in Felder Brennan is they started to bless people. And the extraordinary thing was that when they started to bless people, the power of God came down on people, whether they were Christians or not, wherever they come from, however much they'd heard of the gospel message, just the experience of saying, I want to bless you, and them blessing these people was quite extraordinary. It was quite astounding. And, go grab the book. It'll be in the quiet room after this service. It's a fantastic story. What they began to do, they began to bless their community. Let me just read you a couple of extracts from this. We've already noted that putting the name of God upon people when we bless them is contained in Numbers 6:27. We're invoking the very character of God himself into the lives of those we pray for. They're getting a foretaste of being adopted into God's family. We're opening a door for them to glimpse something of the kingdom of God. So when you bless somebody, suddenly you just shine a bit of the kingdom of God into somebody's life. They suddenly start to see what it's all about. God is saying, I'm going to bless you with everything I blessed my children with. We simply enable God to do something within the constraints he's placed on the way he works. So blessing comes on those people. See? And what then happened was people began, as they started blessing people, people began to respond and receive salvation. As people, this is another quote, as people received a blessing, they were often broken and softened and responsive to God. The spirit of conviction then came and revealed directly to their heart who they were and how they needed God and how they could respond to him. As they began to see how they could be receptors of incredible blessing of love and mercy, the first thing they wanted to do was change. So this is not cheap grace, you know. This is not saying that sin is not important. It's simply doing things in Jesus' order. Jesus' order was to come and bring blessing and come and bring grace. And people say, I want that. I want that. And they reach out for it. And what happened was, as Roy and Daphne began blessing people, people began to receive all sorts of things. So first of all, they began to receive spiritual gifts and tongues, prophecy, healing. They have remarkable healings. There's fantastic, I won't give it to you all here now, there's a fantastic story of a lady suffering from arthritis in here. And she was about to have an operation on her foot, and Roy was blessing her foot, and he was blessing her foot because he thought, well, I better pray for us for something. So he blessed her foot, and her foot got healed remarkably. And she went to the hospital, and the doctor affirmed that it had been healed. But also, the blessing seemed to spread out around the area of Felderbrunn. It's a farming area. And the local farmers started to discover that their animals were being blessed, that the kind of sheep and cattle were doing really well, that a water source which had been running completely dry started to flow. And there was a remarkable sense of the presence of God. I mean, on a daily basis, walkers were just walking past Felderbrunn. And they would come up there and say, what's going on here? There's something here. What is going on? And then the other thing they did was they put this cross up. Fantastic story, this cross going up. And they put the cross up, and people started to respond to the cross being there. It was a quiet... No, read the story. I won't spoil it all for you. It's fantastic. And person after person with no Christian background at all was led to this cross and encountered Jesus in an amazing and powerful way. And there was, as I say, remarkable healing of relationships as well as healing of bodies. And the kingdom of God began to be manifest remarkably in their community. Let me just read this to you. Here we go. We need to help people see that not only is Jesus our Savior and Liberator, bringing us into a relationship with God the Father, through his death and resurrection. He's also our pattern and example for life and ministry. He wasn't inviting people to assent to a short forgiveness contract. He was inviting them to participate in a new covenant. They were to be forerunners of the kingdom. So what's the good news of the kingdom? The message is actually more than you can have your sins forgiven. God has chosen to enter time and space to destroy the works of the evil one who had usurped by man's invitation the rule of God over the earth. This unfolding of God's purpose on earth involves the created order as well as individuals. His reign has started, and it's here on earth. The kingdom of God has come. It's been activated. All things are being redeemed. This is good news. It's good news, isn't it? Really good news. You see? Now look, what's the challenge here for us? The challenge here for us is if we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we are all priests. We are all priests. We all have a responsibility to bring the manifest presence of God in our community. The kingdom of God has a community dimension. So, every one of us can be a challenge for God's grace here in Swanage, wherever we are. Wherever we are. You know? No exceptions. Our job is to bless our community. So, two practical ways for us to do this. All right. First of all, could we hand out the flyers now? Please, we got some flyers to hand out. Everyone needs a flyer, okay? And if you don't live in Swanage, you need another small piece of paper. Pawnee has a small piece of paper for you. So come grab a flyer, everyone. While we're grabbing the flyer, I'm going to tell you what the flyer's about. Okay, this was something that the Lord gave to the prayer team a couple of months ago, okay? And basically, what the prayer team felt we should do is this. Get a big map of Swanage. Now, if you look in the quiet room, there's a big map of Swanage on the wall. And what we want you to do is look at the flyer. And the flyer, it's headed, "Let's bless our community." And God has asked us to be involved in actively blessing our community. And this is what we have to do. If you want to do this, what you do is you go into the quiet room, and you take a red pin and you put it on your road and you pin it into your road. And then every day you bless your road and the people of your road by using the blessings on this flyer or other blessings if you want to instead. Okay. And there are lots here. Okay. We'll come into the blessings in a minute. If when you get to the map, you discover somebody's got there before you. All right. Don't bless somebody else's road. All right. Don't do that. I know it's kind of tempting, but don't do that. What the prayer team felt the right thing to do was this. Take out the red pin and put in a purple pin, which shows there's two of you praying for that road. Now, don't ask me quite why you're supposed to be doing this. That was the guidance we had. So that's what we got to do. All right. So if somebody's got to your road ahead of you, no problem. Take out the red pin, put in a purple pin and be praying for your road. Okay. How do you pray for your road? Bless them. Bless them, okay? Oh, by the way, if you're outside of Swanage, all right? Yep, if you're outside of Swanage, what you need to do is you need get a little piece of paper which Pauline's got, and just write the name of your road on it, or where you live, and pin that to the board, all right? So we can, because otherwise we'd have to have a map of the whole world or something, all right? So, okay, is that okay? Right, so how are you going to do it? Bless the people in your roads. Use the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. All right? Pray. Well, how about community unity? We bless our neighborhood and community with peace and harmony, with reconciliation and solutions in disputes and disagreements. Terrible, isn't it, when neighbors argue? Okay? Bless your community using words like, you can use other words if you want to. These are really good words, though. Okay? Salvation, for people to come to know Jesus as Savior. We bless our community with knowing the goodness of God. He's for them, not against them. We bless them knowing that his love and mercy endures forever, and that it's his will that none of them should perish, but all should come to salvation. Okay? Lots of things. Safe streets, knowing the love of God, poverty or relief from poverty, knowing the presence of God. That's a really important one, presence of God. We bless the atmosphere of our street to be filled with the love and power of God. We bless our community with joy as they sense the presence of God among us. And pray for blessing among our children. Okay. So look, please take this away. Don't just stick a pin in there unless you're going to pray every day. All right? Just don't stick a pin in there. All right? We don't need pins in there to know where people live. I know where people live. It's all in share and prayer. So we don't need to do that. If you're going to pray, stick a pin in. All right? Please, but I hope there's going to be loads of pins in there. All right? And then take this away. Stick it in your Bible. Stick it on the kitchen wall or on your study wall or wherever you need it, or on your front door. I don't know. Wherever you want to put it, you know? So, to remind you every day to pray. And then pray blessing. This is the idea, is we're praying blessing on community. Because you're priests. We're all priests. We can bless these people in the name of the Lord, all right? So let's get started, okay? Right, the next thing is this. We've all got a ministry to bless others just day to day, minute by minute. So there's no reason why we can't go out into the streets of our lovely town or wherever we happen to be and just bless people by the way we meet them, by the way we speak to them, by the opportunities God gives us. So be asking God this week, Lord, how do you want me to bless people today? What do you want me to say? I mean, we're talking about actually saying words of blessing. You don't necessarily need to go up and say, the Lord bless you, keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you. You know, you can go up and say, wow, you're looking really well this week. You know? Or you could go up to somebody and you could say, I'm so pleased to have met you. That's so encouraging. And you can also say, God bless you. Let God bless you. You might even say, if you're feeling courageous, you say, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" You know, hardly anybody objects to being prayed for. You have to be the most hard-bitten atheist to object being prayed for. Honestly, you do. Most people like to be prayed for. They because they appreciate that you are doing something that means something to you for them, and that means that they mean something to you. So people love people praying for you. For them, they really do. They really do. Hardly anybody rejects the opportunity of being prayed for. Okay? So look, as we go about, here's a bit of a challenge. As we go about our daily life this week, we interact with people. Why don't we seek to be God's channel of blessing? Okay? And just bless the people we meet. Why don't we just do this next week? And I'd love you to come and tell me during the week or next Sunday how it's worked out. And I'd love to have a few testimonies, you know, next Sunday. Come and tell me what's happened, okay? When you've had the opportunity to bless people, how have they responded? You know, maybe somebody's been healed or encouraged or, you know? Let's give it a go. Let's give it a go. Now, you might say to yourself, well, hang on a second. Angie's been saying all these people are being blessed. You know, my neighbors are being blessed and the street's being blessed and the town's being blessed. What about me? What about me? Definitely. So I think it would be fantastic if we all went away from today, from our service this morning, having been blessed. Okay? I'm talking about somebody laying hands on you and blessing you. And I know that we always say a blessing at the end of the service, which is really great, all right? But what I want us to do is this. We're going to have our final hymn. So David, get ready to play the final hymn, okay? We're going to play the final hymn, all right? We're going to sing the final hymn, okay? And then I'm going to say a blessing. I'll probably say the Aaronic blessing, okay? And then what we're going to do is the prayer ministry team, and can we have lots of prayer ministry team, up the front, okay? And then I'd like all of you to come up and be prayed for, and we'll bless you. We'll bless you. So when you go out to see all the people that you're going to meet this week, you've got some blessing to pass on to somebody else, okay? So please come up and be blessed. And if you'd like to be anointed, we've got some oil. We can anoint you with oil. But you don't have to be anointed with oil. But you can be if you want to be, all right? But we'd love to pray for each one of you and bless you. Wherever you're from, we've got lots of visitors here. Love to bless you, all right? And if you're visitors, but we'd love to bless you just as much, as I say even more, but just as much if you're from Swanage. Is that all right? So we're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, which is a fantastic hymn. Had it at my wedding. It's a really great, you know, really fantastic hymn of God's faithfulness. We're going to sing this hymn, and then we're going to say a general blessing, and then we're going to come, please come up, and we're going to pray for everyone. We're going to bless you, and then go and have a cup of coffee. Is that all right?